Let us all say amen. I want to thank those. I want to say good afternoon to everyone. I'm Brother Horace Stroud, assistant minister. For those that assemble, when we get back to the building at the Highland Heights Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, I want to thank everyone for being with us on this afternoon. Thankful to those brothers that have gone before me in making this worship service to our God one that fulfills all the requirements that we find in the scriptures. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that you are our VIPs, our very important persons. Also want you to know from the Word of God that the Bible says some foundational things in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. Jeremiah recognized when he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his step." Jeremiah realized in order to walk spiritually, he had to have someone to direct his steps. In Matthew chapter 6 and the verses number 33, Jesus gave the location for which spiritual steps are taken when he said, "But seek ye first," Matthew 6:33, "but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And then when Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse number 3 came to Jesus by night, Jesus shared with him how one get into that kingdom when he said, answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again," and that's spiritual birth, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." And that was Jesus taught Nicodemus about. He had the opportunity in Acts chapter 2 and the verses number 47, when the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So a person wants to receive salvation, wants to be saved, one has to be obedient to the Word of God, and the Word of God gives us that. And at the close of my message, if you are one that is not a member of the Lord's church, you want to be saved, you want to have your sin forgiven, it's my responsibility as a preacher of the gospel to share those five steps with you. On this afternoon, we'll continue our study in the epistle or the letter of James. I found that one has referred to it as a roadmap for Christian living. So we're talking about how to live as a Christian and seeing how those principles in James' writing allows us, as we'll talk about today, to resist sin that is normal to all of us, and then how to deal with social problems that may exist in our lives. And from last week's lesson, three points that we want to make from last week's lesson. One was that wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. And then we found from James writing in James 1 and 5, that spiritual wisdom comes from the Word of God. If one wants to have wisdom spiritually, it comes from the Bible, the Word of God. And then, as we shared on last week, between human wisdom, earthly wisdom, and spiritual wisdom, we found from Mary, when Jesus shared with her that one thing is needful in life, and that is the receiving and the doing of the will of God. One thing that's needful in life, and that's being able to receive and hear the Word of God, and then to do that which one hears. We're in James chapter 4 on this afternoon, and a few verses, and we want to look at it from the subject, submit yourselves therefore to God. Easily said, very difficult to do for many Christians in this walk. And so we want to look at that subject tonight. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. How and what is it to submit yourself, therefore, to God? We'll answer that on this afternoon. But we want to look at in James chapter 3 and what is called verse 18, the Bible says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So James here in verse 18 talks about peace, and then he shifts to the opposite of peace. When he says in verse 1, for whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? James said, for what is the source that wars or arguments and disagreements or state of strife come from? Where is this fighting where we are in disagreement between Christians? He said, where does it come from? It comes because of your lust. James said, and lust being the gratification of natural or sinful desires or pleasures, he said that war in your body. There was dissension in the church as well as between members of the church. And the source of it all is earthly wisdom that James talked about in chapter 3. These fights come because of pleasures that we desire in our hearts. Note, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, and the verse is number 11, Peter said, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. The desire for power, wanting recognition for something, and pride can become hurtful to the Christian. And I got to have an attitude, for carnal things can be dangerous to the Christian. James then in verse number 2 begins to answer these conditions of war and fighting when he said, ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. So James says that we want something very much. We covet it. And oftentimes, James is talking about those unlawful desires. And he says here, in the sense that you will kill or, figuratively speaking, you will murder someone in nature to have what you want. We have, I think, a biblical example in 1 Kings chapter 21. If you'll turn there. 1 Kings chapter 21, and we'll see what James is talking about. I think an Old Testament example or event that will give us hopefully clarity on when you want something that you can't have and what you will do to get it. In 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. So Naboth had a vineyard that was close to the palace that belonged to the king. And the Bible says, and Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seemed good to thee, I would give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. And he said, and he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my father. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would not, and would eat no bread. So it displeased him and it hurt him so he became unhappy and he wouldn't even eat. And we have to understand that life is such we can't have everything we want, and it ought not bring about a depressed spirit because we can't have those things we want. That needs to come from our upbringing. When we raise our children, we teach them you can't have everything you want. And oftentimes, that which you have to earn. The Bible says, But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? He said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth, the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, doest thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed it with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in a letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, a lie against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. We have to be careful when we line ourselves up with people that have the type of spirit that Jezebel has. And you need prayer if you're married or hooked up to someone that has a spirit like that. You need prayer because this person is selfish and simply wants what she wants. And just because you have a position in life does not give you the authority or the power to take something that does not belong to you. The Bible says in verse 11, that the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, who were in the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. Now, first thing I want to say, and that's sinful. That's the lust that James is talking about that ought not be in a Christian. But I want you to know the end of Jezebel's life came in verse 23 when the Bible says that Elijah said to her, "And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the walls of Jezreel." So the Lord dealt with Jezebel for her lust in her heart and her taking of that which did not belong to her. And I want to say to the Christian this afternoon, ask yourself, does God approve of this? That which you desire, does God approve of it? What does the Word of God say? Don't bribe Scripture just to justify your behavior or your action. We have to do the will of God as we're going to in our lesson. So back in James, I want to just show you an example of where someone, the lust can not only in this sense, where it was figuratively in James 4 and 2, but she basically murdered someone to take that which belonged to someone else. And then the Bible says in verse 3, James says, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." So James says, when you ask for things, you don't receive them because your motive is evil. It's mean in nature. And James said the word consume means to use in a foolish or a wasteful way. And James said that's why prayers that are to satisfy carnal desires, God will not hear nor answer the prayer. The Christian request to God is conditional in that we are asking for the right things in the right way and for the right motive. Check your and my motive. Prayer is a privilege of every faithful child of God that ought to be used on a regular basis. Christian, as we had today, that we had morning worship, afternoon worship, we ought to pray intercessory prayers, pray for one another, and we ought to offer prayer on behalf of others and pray for ourselves. Those prayers ought to be on a regular basis. And then James goes on to say, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So what James is talking about is adulterers in a spiritual sense, and that you become an adulteress when you break your spiritual union with Christ. Notice in Romans chapter 7, we have an example of the law. Romans chapter number 7, and the Bible says in verse number 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." So the church is the bride of Christ and married to Christ. And when that spiritual union is broken, James says you become spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. He said, "Know ye not that if you are a friendship with the world, then you are an enemy of God." The word friendship here means that which is opposed to God in a spiritual or a moral sense, where John talks about in 1 John when he says, John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." James says, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You know, rather than be with worldly people than followers of Christ, that's a friend of the world. When I choose as a Christian to rather be with those that are in the world than those that are in the Lord that are faithful Christians, there's something wrong with that picture. And if we're not careful, sometimes we can live in the world and then we can leave the church for the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul identifies one when he said in 2 Timothy 4:10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." So sometimes we can love the world so much that we leave the church, and it's even sadder when we continue to come to the Lord's house for worship service. However, our hearts are there in the world. Where is our heart when we come to worship God? And so James says in verse number 5, "Do you think that the scripture speaketh in vain? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy." So James says, does the spirit that dwells in us, is it there to envy? He says it cannot be. I want to share with us that when the Bible talks about the spirit dwelling in us, we know that from, we should know from Ephesians chapter 3, and the verse is number 17. Ephesians chapter 3, note what the Bible says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. So we have to understand that the Spirit dwells in our hearts by faith. And we know from Romans chapter 10, and the verse is number 17, how faith comes. The Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So when the Bible tells us that the Spirit dwelleth in us, that's figuratively speaking. The word of truth is the instrument by which the Holy Spirit exercises his influence on both the Christian as well as the sinner. And the Christian as well as the sinner, the word of God can influence both the sinner and the Christian. And so James says, but dealing with this issue of lust that we have, James says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James says, God resisted those that are evildoers and following their own self-determined ways and their pride, that attitude of superiority and arrogance. God opposes, but James says on the opposite of that, but God giveth grace or favor, continuous favor unto those that are humble in spirit. Note what Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 3, Jesus, giving the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." When you understand that I am nothing without Christ, that's the beginning of being poor of poverty and spirit, knowing that I need Jesus every day at all times in my life, and I walk by those things. Note the Bible says, talk about that grace that the Lord gives in Romans chapter 5, and the verse is number 20, where Paul wrote, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The grace that God gives through the word is more or greater than the temptations to sin in us. God keeps giving grace to assist us in overcoming those temptations from sin. And that grace, that favor we find through the word of God. Remember when James first began talking about temptation, he talked about those outward temptations in James 1 and 2. And then he talked about those inward temptations in James 1, 13 and 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So we have to allow the word of God to give us more grace that we can overcome those temptations that one may have. And then verse number 7, my final verse, James says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's my subject title. Through all of this, through the warring, the fighting, the infighting in the church between members and those desires that we can't have what we want, and we war and we fight, and we don't get those things because we don't ask God in the right about the right thing in the right way and for the right motive. And James says that we can cause ourselves become the enemy of God, and then we have to become influenced by the word of God in our lives, that the Holy Spirit can have its work in our lives. And James says, how did that come? You have to submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. When we look at the word submit yourself, that is to put or to place oneself under the authority of another. Very willing to obey someone, being subservient. And the one that we are to submit ourselves, James identifies that person is God. We place ourselves under the will of God. And James says, how do we do that? We resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist here means to stand against, or you have to fight the devil figuratively. You have to fight him. And the Lord says, why? Because the devil is that enemy of God. The devil, Satan, is the dangerous enemy of God. And James said, if you resist him or fight him, he will flee from a time. So what is the problem with submission? What is the problem with submission? In Judges chapter 21, and the verse is number 25. I want to say that may have been off. Obviously, it started back with Adam and Eve, with Eve desiring something. But we find a good example in Judges 21 and verse 25. The Bible says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When you don't think you have a king, Jesus is our king over his kingdom. Yeah, that's territory. Jesus is the king of the Christian. Bible, the problem can be when every man simply does that which he thinks is right in his own eyes. Doing what you want to do is not a subservient spirit. It's not the spirit that God wants Christians to have. Submit involves choosing between doing what we want to do and obeying the will of God. So now, how do we, that's submission to God. So now, how does a Christian fight the devil? In Ephesians chapter 6, and the verse is number 10. Ephesians 6, and the verse is number 10. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. And so Paul began to enumerate through verse 18 all those things, that armor that we should put on to be able to fight the devil, girding ourselves with the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, putting on our feet the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, which is to protect us against those darts of the devil, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the only offensive weapon we have against the devil, praying always, he said, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Because Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and 8 concerning the devil, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So we as Christians, we simply have to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, and not allowing those desires that we have that are not consistent with the will of God to overtake us. We have, James said, we can get more grace, but he, God, giveth more grace than we humble ourselves. And you'll find back in 1 Kings 21 that Ahab, even though his wife sinned and she was destroyed, Ahab did that which was pleasing to God. Note that the Bible says in First Kings 21 and verse number 27, and it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and laid in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evils in his days, but in his son days will I bring the evil upon his house. So again, what we learn, Jesus, James said through the Holy Spirit that God resisted the proud. He resisted Jezebel. However, he gave grace to Ahab because he humbled himself. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, we want you to become a Christian. We find in Romans chapter 1, what is it one must hear to become a Christian? The Bible says in Romans 1:15, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And the gospel is the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He suffered on the cross and died. Nails in his hand, nails in his feet. He died on that cross. He was taken down, buried in a tomb. However, he rose again the third day. And Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So we see then, one must be obedient. The first one must hear the gospel. He must believe the gospel. Then one must repent. We find in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Christ died for sin. A person that's a sinner must die to sin. Then he tells us how. You repent of your sin, meaning you turn to Christ. You hear the gospel, you believe it, you turn to Christ. Then the Bible says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And we find in the one example of one being baptized in Acts 8:37, the Ethiopian eunuch made the confession, I believe, before his baptism, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That confession must be made by the alien sinner. And then the Bible says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when you obey the Lord and you complete your obedience in water baptism, you have a newness of life. Now you're a Christian, a child of God. If you would like to respond to the message, get with the person that invited you on the call so they can get with us so we can make it happen that you become a Christian today, if that is your desire. I thank you very much for your listening. Also, the Lord adds you to the church, Romans 16:16. Don't want to miss this. The churches of Christ salute you. The church belongs to Christ who died for it. Thank you very much for your listening here on this afternoon.